As we continue our teaching from the Sermon on the Mount is about prayer and living a life of prayer. And Jesus taught how to pray. So if you need one of these and you need an outline this morning, would you raise your hand and someone will serve you? Jesus did start out teaching on what not to do in this passage of Scripture in Matthew 6. And as we've gone through the Sermon on the Mount, we've studied some hard teachings of Jesus. He just says it straight. And he was talking to the people and he was sharing with them, as this is how you have been taught, but this is what it really means. So this morning it's the same thing. Jesus is going to talk to them about what not to do and what to do. So let's bow our heads and pray over the word. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's quick, it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. God, as we study it today, I pray that the Holy Spirit teaches us the heart of God and the understanding that you want us to have about living a life of prayer. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. So we're just going to break down this passage. It's Matthew 6, verses 5 through 15. And we'll just take a verse or two at a time, and then we're going to talk about it. So Jesus starts out sharing what not to do. And he says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." So he starts out saying, don't be like the hypocrites. And then he lists some reasons why. And he said, because they like to pray to be seen. They love to pray to be seen. They love to act religious. But in reality, they're just trying to impress people. And so don't be like them, he said. And he said, if you do pray to be seen by people, then that's your reward. You see, you already have your reward. If your main goal for coming to church, to serving God, for praying, is so that people would say, oh, you're just such a spiritual person. You're such a strong Christian. I really admire you. And if there's something about that that just feeds your soul, then Jesus is telling us we need to take a look at ourselves and adjust that. Because we pray because we love God and we want to talk to Him. You know, prayer is our communication with our Heavenly Father. So we pray because we love God and we love to pray because we love talking to our Heavenly Father. And whether no one hears you or not, that's not what it's all about. It's like the guy in the video clip. You know, he had to practice with all of his stuffed animals and Jesus. And he tried all kinds of different things as he went through the Lord's Prayer. Okay, and then he said they like to pray in the synagogues. And so the church is a place for public prayer. We do pray together here in church. But it isn't a place to put yourself out there to sound super spiritual and pray long, elaborate prayers. Or long story prayers, I call them. It's like people are praying and telling me a story at the same time. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You're laughing. People are getting restless in their seats. Ooh. But church is the public place to prayer. And we want to come together and pray. We're supposed to pray. We're the church. My house will be called a house of prayer. And so that's one of the main reasons we gather together, is to pray. Amen? Okay, so then he goes on and he tells us what to do. He says, but you, when you pray, go to your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So he's saying when you have your personal prayer time with God, shut your door. What he's talking to us about is all of us should have a prayer life. We should be living a life of prayer. There needs to be that place where you can get with God, where you can shut the door and it's just you and God, where you can cry out and you can pray to Him. He's not condemning praying in public at church, but he is letting us know that we should have a life of prayer. That should be number one on our list. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because your Father is in the secret place and he sees in secret. You see, when you set aside a place and you say, Lord, I dedicate this place as my place of prayer, and I'm coming here to meet with you. Well, you don't have to tell everybody that's what you're doing or post it on Facebook. Oh, I'm getting ready to go into my prayer closet. The Lord says, when you come into that place that you set aside for me, I see you. I see you in that place. I'm in the secret place. You see, we can go to the secret place of the Most High God. And the way you get to the secret place is through prayer. It's through prayer. Lord, I'm coming. Now, do you have to go into a secret place? No, you don't. You can find that secret place in the midst of work, driving down the road. Some people say their car is their prayer closet. And they get in their car and they just start praying in their car. Just don't, you know, start praying in the spirit and speed. I was at a... Yeah, I was at a conference with a group of gals about 4 years ago, and we were interceding, we were praying, we were heading for CI, for the Watchmen's Conference, and we were having a good time. Well, we got pulled over by the police, and the driver, her name's Lorna, she had been in the military for years, and she was so upset with herself because they gave her a speeding ticket and this was going against her record. And she said, I know better, but we were just so caught up in intercession. The harder we prayed, the faster she went. So be careful of that if your car is your prayer closet. And then the next point is your Father will reward you openly. You see, you're praying in secret, praying for the desires of your heart, for your family, for your friends, for your church, for your country, and God begins to answer your prayer. And people see that. They see that you live a blessed life. They see that you get answers to your prayer. And then they want to know, how did you do that? You see, we can choose our reward. We can choose to be rewarded by the compliments of people, which, by the way, could change within 5 minutes or maybe less. Could change very quickly. Or we can receive a reward from the Lord. He will reward us openly when we meet with Him and we cry out before Him on behalf of our families, our friends, our church, our nation. God is listening. When you cry out on behalf of the company that you work for, God can cause that company to increase. And that's going to bless you. And you're going to see that. Your reward will be to know that God is moving in that company and He is increasing them. Because I'm telling you, when you pray for your company instead of complaining about it, You're the one that gets blessed. Come on, you're a part of that blessing. We are a part of bringing God's will into the earth. It just doesn't happen when the saints sit back and do nothing. God's talking to us this morning about living a life of prayer. Then he goes on again and he tells us what not to do. He says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. So he says, don't be like the heathen and keep saying the same thing over and over and over again. This reminds me of a child that will come to you and ask you the same question over and over and over again. They want to do something and they are relentless to get their way. And they think the more they ask you, the more chance they have of getting to do it. Is that right? Any moms in here? Oh, and maybe you've done that once or twice to your parents. Oh, yes. Bishop Hammond always says, it isn't the length of your prayer, it is the strength of your prayer. So don't be like the heathen and just keep asking the same thing over and over again. Ecclesiastes 5:2 says this, do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. And then Jesus goes on and he tells us what to do. He says this, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Aren't you thankful God knows what you need before you ask? God knows what we need before we ask, and so many times we ask for what we think we need, but it's not what God knows we need. Have you ever been in that situation? God knows what we need. We'll take our petition to the Lord and pray it the way we think it should turn out, but sometimes it turns out much differently. But to God be the glory. Always to God be the glory. He knows what he's doing. Tell your neighbor, God knows what he's doing. He sees the big picture and he knows what he is doing. So he goes on and he shares with us. He says, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So to start with, we pray to the Father. John 16:23. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. So if you've ever wondered, who do I pray to? How do I pray? Jesus outlines it very clearly. Pray like this, our Father who art in heaven. We're acknowledging our heavenly Father, and we are acknowledging the place that he has in our life. Remember, he is in the heaven. We are down here on earth. He has a much better view of what's going on. Would you agree? He's got a really good seat there, watching the affairs of people. And so he knows what's going on in our life. He knows exactly what's going to happen. So we acknowledge him. We lift him up. I want Jesus high and lifted up in my life and over our church and over our church family, because if we keep him high and lifted up, then he will draw all people, all men to him. We lift him higher. He is exalted. He knows what he's doing. Tell your neighbor, God knows what he's doing. And then he says, we go on and we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we pray for the kingdom of God, which is God's rule, God's reign, and his will to come into the earth realm. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Whatsoever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. God's given us that authority. God is awakening the body of Christ. There are disasters on every side. 3 hurricanes, fires that are raging, earthquake in Mexico, tsunami, North Korea threatening to blow up other nations. There is so much going on. But Jesus said these things would come. He warned us ahead of time that these things would come upon the earth and it would be so frightening to some people that their hearts would fail them for fear. People would start to have heart attacks because they were so afraid of what is coming on the earth. We serve a God that is so much greater than all of the hurricanes. I was sharing with the prayer team this morning. They talk about how strong this hurricane is. I said, just think how strong it would be if God actually opened up his storehouses that are holding the wind and let them go. This is minute compared to the power and the strength of God. And Elder Carol Denlinger, she prayed that God would be glorified in every situation. And that God would show himself to every person that is in a difficult, dangerous situation right now. God is able to work miracles and to make himself famous to so many people. And so we had prayed that the storm would go east and head north and dissipate. So it comes west and heads north. But remember, God's in the heavens and he's looking down and he's got the best view. And so he is working something together for his glory and for our good. Because I'm hearing people on the news media talk about God, saying I'm praying and all kinds of things that you would never have heard on the news media. You see, when danger comes, disaster comes, people suddenly turn their heart to God. Because we realize how we do not have control over Mother Nature. We are just a speck of dust on this planet. And our life is so short. We totally need to depend upon God and trust him to help us, to strengthen us, to work things out for us. Church, we cannot make it in these end times without Jesus Christ walking right next to us and with us. We cannot make it without the angels of the Lord on assignment assisting us. And I believe God is sending angels of the Lord to assist those in Florida who are in need right now. And those in Puerto Rico and on the Virgin Islands, God is sending his angels. There's a whole bunch of them. And there have been people praying and praying and saying, why me, God? Why did this happen to me? Well, we'll not know the whys on this side of life. We'll probably not get that total answer, but God is with them and he is helping them, and he will use the body of Christ, I believe, in a magnificent way, like he's already using them in Texas. God intended for the church to take care of people. He did not intend for the government to take care of people. He intended for the church to be his hands and his feet and to be at the forefront, Yes, we should work together with the government. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying I think the church has taken a back seat in many, many ways, which has caused our secular culture to rise up and flood this place. And we've sat back and we've been quiet, because if we're not quiet, then we are those horrible evangelistic people that have no tolerance for anything. Come on. They're not saying nice things about the church. But Jesus said they hated him. They're going to hate you. It's just that Jesus had the boldness to keep going in the face of all the opposition. We need to have that same boldness. Because the only thing that's going to make America great again is putting God first. Amen. Hallelujah. And President Trump called for prayer. Amen. And the liberals are swearing at him, calling him names. Did you read that? It's like they are mocking God. And as President Trump aligns things in this nation, we will see demons manifest. And could all this disruption that we see coming on the earth be a portion of it, demons manifesting, trying to stop what God is doing? Come on. There is a demonic element in the storm. There is a demonic element. The church is the one that is called to pray. We have authority over principalities and powers. You see, we can dismantle and disarm principalities and powers if the church would unite in prayer. We can do that. The church is called to be the ruling force in the earth today. And all of this coming about has caused many, many people to pray, to hit their knees that have not prayed before. See, God's getting our attention for the third awakening. There is a harvest of souls in America. There are people who do not know God. There are people, it's hard to believe, right here in this nation, who don't know anything about the Bible, don't care anything about the Bible. And so God is calling us to pray. He's calling us to be the salt and the light, and he's calling us to release his love. There is a revival of love that is coming into the body of Christ, because love conquers all sin. Is that right? Perfect love casts out all fear. That's why we can walk without fear of man, because we have the perfect love of the Father in our lives. He loves us with a perfect love. A perfect love is a complete love. He hasn't forgotten one detail about you. In the midst of your situation. So we're praying God's will to earth. I better get back to my notes. But we're praying God's will into the earth realm. That's what we do. Then he says, see, after you take care of the Father's business, do you notice that? First thing first on the agenda of the church should be to take care of the Father's business. That should be the first thing we do in the morning, or when we get into our closet of prayer. Ask God. Pray his will. Pray his scripture. His scripture, his word is his will. And then we pray for provisions. Give us this day our daily bread. And then forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We ask for forgiveness of our debts. And that word debt in the Greek means something owed, a due, or a moral fault. Forgive us, Lord, that we didn't hit the mark. We didn't quite make it. Forgive me for that, Lord. And I forgive others when they do that towards me. Got one amen out of that. And then, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So we pray and we ask the Lord for deliverance from the evil one. God will deliver his people. He knows every one of us, and he will deliver us. And then it goes on and he finishes up with, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So as we close our prayer time, we acknowledge and we declare that God's kingdom is the power and the glory forever. God's kingdom will rule forever and ever. And we acknowledge his sovereignty as we close out our prayer. Then Jesus said, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. In other words, if we want to be forgiven, we choose to forgive. We choose to forgive rather than to retaliate. And it is a choice. Tell your neighbor, it is not a feeling. Because most of the time you're not going to feel like forgiving someone who has trespassed against you. Come on, somebody else say amen. We're just not going to feel like it. So Jesus, have you noticed through this teaching, he's really not that concerned about your feelings. He is asking us to crucify ourselves. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Some of those feelings, we have to crucify them. And that's what he's saying. Forgive their trespasses, and he will forgive ours. And that's how he finishes out that portion of Sermon on the Mount. So let's go. We have a few more minutes. And talk about when the church prays. In Acts 12, 5 through 8, Peter had been arrested and he was being kept in prison. The scripture says constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. So the church was gathered together to pray for Peter for his release. And let's go on and read this passage. It said, and when Herod was about to bring him out. See, Herod was about to bring him out to kill him. That was his plan. He was going to cut his head off. The people were so happy that he cut off John the Baptist's head, he thought he'd just cut off another head. But the scripture says that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers. Get that picture in your mind. And the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him. And a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. Now you can read this whole story. We don't have time to go into all of it, but there are some things about this testimony of Peter that we need to understand as the church. You see, God is greater than any situation that we get ourselves into. And Peter was doing good when he got himself in prison, when he found himself in prison. But when the church prayed, God sent angels on assignment to set Peter free. Think about that. The church was in constant prayer for him, and God heard their prayer, and he released an angel to go and set him free. And he broke out of there and ended up going to the prayer meeting that was going on. And he knocked on the door, and the girl that answered the door just shut the door. She was so scared because their prayers were answered. I'm thinking the church is constantly praying for Peter to be released. He gets released and they can't even believe that their prayer was answered. But if the church will join together, I'm not talking just about our church, but I'm talking about the church in the nation, the church of the United States of America. If we join together and agree together that God's will in the earth is more important than our ideologies and our philosophies and our theology and our doctrines. Come on, we all do things a little differently. And that's okay because you find your tribe, you find your family, you find your people. Because that's how God designed it. But he never meant for us to be separated and be enemies. He wants us to join together upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who gave his life for us. And we will see if we can do that. And all it takes is two or three to agree. I've got two or three intercessors that I'll call and I'll say, let's pray. Because I know when I get with them and pray, things begin to happen and things begin to move in the earth. Because we agree. God wants us to agree on some things. And I think the first thing we need to agree on is that God will once again be established in the public place of America. That prayer will be restored back to the school. These are key things. When prayer was removed from the school, and they used to have dress codes. Do you remember dress codes going to school? They had dress codes. There were certain things you could wear and certain things you couldn't wear. And there were no exceptions. But when they removed that, my mom said, we are in trouble in this nation. And we didn't see the moral decline immediately, but we see it now. And as all of this disaster has come upon America, I think people are beginning to realize that everyone is important. And regardless of your nationality, your ethnic group, your economic status, none of those things matter when you consider we all have one Heavenly Father. And we all came from Adam and Eve. All of us did. And we're all heirs of Abraham and the promises of Abraham. And so God wants us to stop looking at our differences and look at what we have in common, which is one Heavenly Father. Do you see why these other religions are infiltrating into America? And as Reverend Joseph said, eventually, if it continues this way, they will dominate us because we vote. We vote. And the highest people group can actually change laws and take office here. And we need to be wise that this is going on in our nation to take us to take over what God established here, to be a light to the world, to be salt and light to the world, to evangelize the world, to send out missionaries. If we have one Father and one Savior, Jesus Christ, and we are praying that once again, this will be established in public places. What they've done in other countries, and even in China, they'll give you a permit to have a church meeting. But you cannot share anything about Jesus Christ outside of that one meeting that they give you. And what they're working towards is keeping us contained within our churches so that we are not taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to the streets. Do you see how the laws have been legislated to imprison us in our churches and within our groups? They're not even allowed to share the gospel with family, with friends. It has to be at a designated time that they are gathering. That is real bondage. And we need the help of the Lord to set our brothers and sisters free all over the world. Amen? Amen. And I really believe he can do that, because in the end, he's going to do that, because his kingdom will come down and will rule over every other kingdom. See, we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We have a government of peace that is eternal. And that's what we represent, and that's what we pray to come from heaven to earth. God's rule, God's reign, and God's will is at the highest priority of our prayers. Then we ask for our provisions. So the Lord's speaking to us this morning about the power that is inside of us, that in many of us is lying dormant because we haven't activated it. We have to activate that through prayer. We activate that by praying God's word. You wonder what to pray? Well, Elder Jim teaches the third Sunday of every month, and he gives us scriptures to pray. And this month we've been praying for God's favor for his children. There are intercessors praying for our church for God's favor. It's specifically for us. But it also extends out to all those that we connect with. And we can apply God's word in the marketplace and to our nation. Let's become prayers. Many of you don't know, but, or maybe you do know, our legal name is Praisers Ministries, spelled P-R-A-Y-S-E-R-S, Praisers. And the reason we have that spelling is because initially we started as a group of people that love to pray and intercede and worship God. That is our foundation. That is the foundation of the church. He said, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Prayer has got to be our top priority. If you can't get in for prayer, then I encourage you. Our personal prayer life is really important, but you know what? God called us to be connected to a body. Do you know that? We belong to each other. And there are things that we can accomplish together that you cannot accomplish alone. That's the way God designed us. We need one another. I need you, and you need me. I have a few more scriptures here, but we're going to go ahead and close, and you can read these yourself. They are in your outline. And that would be a good study because Jesus Christ is the head of the church and he's head over all things. Tell your neighbor all things. And he calls us to sit with him in heavenly places. We right now form a spiritual habitation for the Lord to dwell in. And we sit with him in heavenly places. This isn't just another meeting. It has a spiritual element to it that nothing else has. And so we're many members that come together to praise the Lord, to hear God's heart for our church, for our nation, for our family. See, revelation is birthed on the inside of you as you sit in spiritual places. Anybody have a revelation this morning as I was sharing? Any type of, I understand that now. Oh, and you know what? The Lord will talk to me about things that the speaker's not even talking about, but that I need to know. Does that happen to you? It's because you're in a spiritual atmosphere and the Spirit of the Lord is here. And he starts to talk to us about things that we need to know. And we need to pay attention to what Holy Spirit is saying. I love to be in a place that has spiritual revelation because I am always strengthened. And so when we come together, we're strengthened. Sometimes we don't even realize everything that's happened until later. But God is with us. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you so much for prayer, for the opportunity to pray. Lord, that we can pray your will into the earth. Thank you for our River of Life family, friends that are gathered here today. I pray, God, that you strengthen each one of them and draw them closer to you. God, you know what they're going through. You know what they have need of. And God, we ask that you supply all of their needs according to your riches and glory. And I pray, God, that they get such a hunger for you. And I pray, God, that their prayer life increases. And God, that you direct them, guide them, and help them in every way. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Amen.